Well, what a great thing to see how God is working in lives. I'm convinced with all of my heart that God wants to do something amazing, something beautiful, and something that is world-changing through the life of River West Church. And my message for you this morning is really, really simple. I need your help to make that happen. That's it. I need your help to make that happen. God is on the move. The Lord is at work in our church. It's been an interesting time the last several months in the life of River West Church. It's been a time of turmoil in many ways, both the physical facility that we have and staff transitions. All you have to do is look around here to kind of see some of the turmoil with regard to our facilities and changing from two facilities to one and then getting into our building project and realizing that basically everything that could go wrong kind of did go wrong in this whole thing. And so we've had to wait for the steel for the wall over here, which is, I heard it's coming like in a week or two, which is great, but I don't even know if I believe it anymore. And that's holding up everything else. We ordered these windows over here. You see these beautiful windows, and there's a header that goes across, and you'll see a gap at the lower part of the window there between the header and the window. That's because the windows were manufactured incorrectly and not at the right angle, and so they had to reorder them at the right angle, and so it takes like 7 or 8 weeks to have the windows made. So that's why all that is waiting for the window to be made. There's another window that's going to be on that end that'll look just like that. Let's hope they can get that right. We ordered new lights to go in here, and Maggie was so excited. She said, well, at least we can put the lights in. It'll be so great. And the timing. She called the electrician, and she said, you know, I want a date to install. They're going to arrive. I don't want you to wait for them to arrive. Just get the date. We'll get lights in. And so the guy said, great. And he called the electric company that had ordered the lights, and the electric company said, oh, we forgot to put that order in. So they, you know, seriously, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So they put the order in. Well, it takes 8 weeks or so to make the lights. So, I mean, it's just kind of crazy. Like, at this point, it's almost comical. It's funny what's happening. And so, you know, all this is going on. And meantime, we're going through staff transitions. We have Pastor Jonathan took a job as a senior pastor at a big church in Seattle, which is an awesome thing for him, and our worship leader went off to become a college pastor in Texas, and Tina's going to El Salvador, and all these people are coming and going. It's like in our staff meeting, we feel like it's, you know, last one, just turn out the lights, and that'll be the end of the thing. And, you know, it's like the story in the Bible where Gideon is going to go out to battle, and God just keeps taking people away, saying, you know, you don't need that many people. You don't need those people. God's like, I'm going to do it. You guys don't need anybody, you know. And yet, in the midst of all of these things, I see the Lord working in our church in amazing ways. We're going through a time of growth in our church. I see amazing things happening in our body. And all of this is confirmation to me of that which I've always known, and that is that this church is the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. River West Church is about what God is doing in the midst of a group of people, and God is doing it. And I'm absolutely convinced of that. The hope of every church planter are the words of Jesus when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is the intention of Jesus Christ. And much like the Apostle Paul, or I guess not much like, but a tiny bit like the Apostle Paul, I've been a church planter in my life. And this is the second church plant. And those words are my hope. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the Lord is doing that work. He is doing something here that I believe is amazing. I believe that it is something that is to be world-changing. I'm already seeing the world change because of it. And I need your help to really make that happen. I want to ask you today, will you work with me to impact the world for Jesus Christ? We need to do it together as the body of Christ. Open up in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Corinthians is about exactly what I just said to you. We're going to go into chapter 3 today, but let me give you a little bit of a recap. God is on a mission in the city of Corinth. He sends Paul. Paul goes there and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. People respond. The Holy Spirit moves in lives. People respond to the truth of the gospel, come to faith in Jesus Christ, and a community of Christ is formed in this fallen culture called Corinth. And God begins to work in that community of faith and build those believers together. He does so by the power of the gospel, the power of the cross, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Adam talked about the Holy Spirit working in their hearts, working in their minds. God is at work in this church, but things aren't going all that well because these people are kind of stuck. These people are fighting with each other. These people are not working together to impact their city for Jesus Christ. The thing is sort of having a meltdown, and so Paul writes to them, and he basically says, you know what? God wants to do something amazing in and through your lives. He's called you to be the church of Jesus Christ. He's equipped you to be the church of Jesus Christ. He's building something amazing in your midst, and you guys are missing it. And Paul says, you know what? I need your help to make this thing work. I need you to see the potential that there is in the church of Jesus Christ and the call of God on the church of Jesus Christ. And I want you to live up to that. I want you to be that church, he says to Corinth. And that word to Corinth is God's word to us as well. God wants us to be that life-changing, world-changing church. And I need your help to make it happen. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 17. And then let me share with you what I need you to do. Chapter 3, verse 1. Brethren, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, as mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready, for you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? You're acting like everybody else out there. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? You're just acting like everybody else in the culture all around you. What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. You are that temple. You are God's field, God's garden. You are God's building, God's work of art. You are God's construction project. And it's an important one. Everything about the passage says, alert, alert. Take this seriously. Words like fire, destruction, those are tips in the Bible. This is important. Hello, wake up. All right. There are metaphors in this passage of building. Whether it's gardening, building a garden, or constructing a beautiful building, or the building of a temple. It's all about building. God is saying to the Corinthians, I want you to know that God is building something amazing in this world. And what he's building in this world is his church, and that is his people, his temple. God wants to do something amazing in this world. Will you be a part of that building process? Will you jump in? Will you help? That's the question. I need for you to help. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important, significant building project in the history of the world. I believe that. I believe it's true everywhere, in every place, in every culture. God's plan is to impact the world through the Church of Jesus Christ. That's his plan. That's the way he set it up. Everywhere that the early Christians went, they established churches, communities of believers bound together in the love and the faith of Jesus Christ, who together became a transformed people who then had an impact on the culture around them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the plan of God. That's the way that God operates. And it's always a challenge. It's hard to build something. And so the quest is, get the people together. Get them to build. Get them involved. Here's what I need you to do. And I want you to know, I'm really serious about this today. I'm super serious about this. I actually need you. I need you to do this, okay? Here's what I need you to do. First of all, I need you to grow into spiritual maturity in Christ so that you will be able to contribute something to this building project. And when I say the building project, I don't mean the far wall. Or the lights, though if you can get me a deal on lights, I'll take it. Or if you know how to make windows or any of that stuff, okay. But I'm not talking about that, okay. I'm talking about this building project, which is the community. We're here to build a community of Christ for the world, right? That's our thing at River West. Build a community of Jesus Christ for the world out there. That's what we do here. That's what Corinthians is about. That's what this passage is about. And I need your help to do it. In order for you to help, you must grow in spiritual maturity in Christ so that you have something to give. Go back to the front of this passage, chapter 3 and verse 1. Brethren, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Now, in chapter 2, he talked about being spiritual people. He talked about the fact that all believers have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said that we have the mind of Christ. When you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are given the Holy Spirit. Adam taught us about that last week. The Spirit of Christ is present in your life. You got more horsepower under the hood than you know what to do with. And basically, Adam said, you know what? You need to get it in gear. Let's go. Let's move. The Holy Spirit is present. But he says, I wish I could talk to you at that level, but I can't because you're still worldly. And the NIV says worldly, but literally it says fleshly. You're of the flesh. You're operating at a lower level. You're operating at the level of just mere humanity, human thinking, human impulses. The Holy Spirit has not taken control of your life, and you're not growing to maturity, he says. In fact, he puts it like this. He says, you are mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And indeed, you're still not ready for it. He says, you know what? The problem is, he goes, you guys are a bunch of spiritual babies, and it's really hard to build anything with a baby workforce. It just doesn't happen. Okay? Now, babies are wonderful. Babies are cute. Babies are adorable. I know. We had three babies, and they were cherub-like in their being. They were amazing babies. Cute babies. We're getting ready to be grandparents. We got about 2 weeks left. And the granddaughter's coming, the little princess. I'm so excited. It's going to be great. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with acting like a baby if you are a baby, okay? I mean, babies, you know, they're just there. They're just there. And they're cute and they're amazing. But they have severe needs at both ends of their little bodies. and an incredible ability to make those needs known. Okay? It's like the piercing scream of a baby is an amazing, just ordained by God to rattle you in every way, just to get your attention, you know. It's like, what? What do you need? You know, it's amazing. How many diapers? What is the load? What is the tally of diapers in a week? Is it 80? Is it 100 diapers? I'm telling you. So babies, basically what babies do is they just exist and they're cute and then they take and what they give, nobody wants. All right. That's what a baby does. Now, if you're a baby, that's fine. That's good for a season. Let's go with it. All right. But if you're not a baby anymore, you need to stop that. Okay. Because the point of life is to grow so that you have something to contribute. All right. The problem at Corinth was these people, years later, he's writing them perhaps 6 years after founding the church. There's 6 years. 6 years. He says, hey, you know what? You should be growing up. You should be growing into spiritual maturity. You're still whining and complaining and pooping your pants spiritually all the time. He says, you need to grow up and you need to be able to contribute something. There are so many Christian believers who are still infants in their spirituality. Now, here's what's kind of interesting about the passage. The Corinthians, we know a couple things about them. One thing we know is that they were smart. These are smart people. They're sharp. You know, they won the debate club type thing. You know, they'd send their debate team up to Athens and they'd win, you know. I mean, these guys were smart. They had philosophers there. They were articulate. They knew a bunch of stuff. Paul even says later in the letter, he says, we know that knowledge puffs up because they were into knowledge. I believe these people had a lot of spiritual information. They probably had libraries of spiritual information. They probably sat around and got in debates about all kinds of theological things and the nature of God and all this kind of stuff. But that knowledge did not define maturity. We know that the Corinthians were spiritual in the sense of their spiritual experiences because they were the church that was really into the spiritual gifts. There were actually miracles happening there. There were people who had gifts of prophecy, healing, knowledge, prayer languages, miracles. And they would come together and they would be operating these spiritual gifts. You get the feeling it was kind of like every new spiritual thing that was coming to the church, Corinth was the most excited. They were right on top of it. And so they're into spiritual fireworks and spiritual experiences and tingles up and down your spine. And what do I feel like today in Jesus? But none of that denoted maturity. Because every bit of it was self-focused. Here's the thing about a mature Christian. A mature Christian is no longer self-focused. The baby, it's all about the baby. It's all about them. How do I feel today? What have I experienced today? What do I know today? How do I stand in the pecking order today? Did I get my way today? And did I get it soon enough? That's the baby. But the mature person is able to put those things aside and to look out beyond themselves and have something to contribute. The mature believer is becoming more like Christ in their attitude and in their actions. That's spiritual maturity. More like Christ in their heart attitude and in their actions. That's the mature believer. And that's what Paul is calling. And he's saying, I need your help, guys. I need you to become spiritually mature. He says in verse 3, you're still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like everybody else? When one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Now, notice when he talks about worldly and fleshliness, sometimes we think, you know, in the old King James Version, it said carnal. You're still carnal. And so we go, oh, carnal. Well, those are the sins of the flesh, you know. Well, we know they did have sins of the flesh at Corinth. We'll talk about that in a chapter or two. They had sexual sin. They had all kinds of sin issues that took place in their lives. But the sin that he points out here is not some sexual sin. It's the inability to get along with each other in the sense of serving together to accomplish something together because they were fragmenting into groups. It's like the kid who says, if I don't get my way, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. you know, or I'll find somebody else who just agrees with me, and then we'll do our own thing right over here. That type of an idea. And what Paul is calling them to is he's saying, I want you to be mature enough to work together, to serve together, to worship together, to impact the world together for Christ, to use your gifts in an effective way that really have an impact and they don't just get you all jazzed up for a few minutes. And he's calling to maturity. Here's what I need. I need you to grow into spiritual maturity in your Christian life. I need you to learn, to grow, to serve, to give. It has to happen in our lives. I'm so excited because on Thursday night we started our foundations class and we have so many people coming who are just saying, I really want to learn. I want to grow in my faith. That's exciting to me to see that. I love it when people say to me, oh, I love to come to church, to River West, because I feel like I'm learning the Word of God. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited to see people going to community groups. People just coming together during the week. I know it's hard. People, they after work, they have to go somewhere. They have to drive somewhere, make the effort, get together, build a relationship, say a prayer with people, have fellowship together. I'm so excited to see that happen. You know what that says? It says we're becoming a church of mature believers together in Christ. I'm so excited when I see people working to resolve their conflicts, working past the awkwardness of relationships, hanging in there. I go, oh, this is great because this is what mature people do. Babies don't do that. This is what mature people do. It's awesome. I need you to grow into spiritual maturity. How long have you been a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ? How long? A year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Are you growing in maturity in your Christian faith? It's essential that that happens. Been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? Someone once said, have you been a Christian for 20 years or for 1 year 20 times? You see, what is it? Because by now, in Hebrews it says, by the time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you still. You're still doing the milk thing, okay? He says, you got to get past that. All right, this thing is a life of growth, is what it is. I want you to just take stock of your own life and say, am I growing? There are ways to grow, River West Church, and you need to make use of those ways. Here's the next thing that I need you to do. I need you to step into humble servant leadership to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You, I need you to do this. Here's what he says in verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Hey, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? They're servants. Humble servant leadership is what builds this community of faith in Christ. I need you to step into humble servant leadership in your life. There are no superstars in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's only one superstar, it's Jesus. No, there's no other superstars in the church, all right? I have my philosophy is no celebrity pastors, okay? I don't want to be a celebrity pastor. There's no such thing as a celebrity pastor. That Corinth, that's what they wanted. They wanted celebrity pastors. Oh, Paul, he's cool, you know. That Paul had his entourage, you know, his posse that went with him, you know, and all these guys, and they had all their groupies, and that was the problem. There are no celebrity pastors. There are no superstar Christians. What there are is humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ who are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Simple as that. And the implication of this passage is that all of us step into this role. Every one of us. If you're growing in maturity, you're going to step into a role where you begin to give, to serve others. Verse 10, by the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. By the graces given to me, I laid a foundation as perhaps not an expert builder, but as a builder for the Lord. And that foundation, he says in verse 11, no one can lay any foundation other than that already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of River West Church is Jesus Christ. Now that I know. I know the foundation is Jesus. Okay? We started our church in someone's living room by worshiping Jesus, praying to Jesus, learning about Jesus in the Scriptures, and learning how to serve Jesus. The foundation is Jesus Christ of River West Church. The one thing that we have tried to consistently do from day one at River West is to point to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center. He is the foundation. I'm assured of that. That's my job. My job as the founding pastor, the lead pastor of River West Church, is to lay the foundation of Jesus Christ. Just keep laying that foundation, just making it strong. Now another builds upon it. Who builds upon that foundation? All of those who serve in the body of Christ come and they begin to build upon the foundation. As they use their gifts, they build upon the foundation. And the implication that Paul has for the Corinthians is, you know, you guys are building something. You're just not doing a very good job. But you're building something, he says. Now, you can build with gold, silver, or precious stones, or you can build with wood, hay, and stubble. But if the foundation is really costly, it's like if somebody laid a foundation, it was amazing. They just spent a lot of time, and it was just super rebar, strong, amazing foundation that could, you know, you could put the Dubai Tower on the thing, you know, 1,800 feet. Just huge, amazing thing that could be built on that. And instead you came out, you know, with cardboard and scotch tape. You say, wait a minute, shouldn't the superstructure sort of correspond with the foundation? Yeah. He says to the Corinthians, you know, you're building, there's a foundation there, and you're building, but the thing is just not, it's not working. It's going to, if, you know, the first storm that comes through, when the fire comes, it's just going to be just devastated, he says. So he's saying to them, he says, be careful how you build. Now, I want to say to this to you, I need you to step into humble servant leadership. Humble servant leadership is any time when you step up to minister. Okay, I don't know if Ann sees herself as a leader or not, but she is a leader because she stepped up to serve and to do something for Jesus. And she answered that call, the Spirit in her heart. And she just said, I'm going to do this. And she stepped out there. And so she's taking a role of humble servant leadership in using her gifts of having an impact for Jesus Christ. Every single person in this church who serves in any capacity, you've become a servant leader. You don't need a title to be a leader. You don't need the flashy, you know, badge to be a leader. You are a leader if you are a servant, humble servant of the Lord who is doing what God has called you to faithfully, staying focused on Jesus and serving Him from your heart faithfully, keeping Christ at the center and doing what you do with an attitude and actions like Jesus, then you're doing that work and you become the leader and you are building. You are building. I need your help to build. The Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. The Bible also says he who has more will be given. So see, here's what I see as a church planter and as what I see at River West Church is I see this amazing work that the Lord is doing. I see the Spirit of God working in our midst. I see people growing and stepping into ministry. I see all these things happen, and I just get more excited. I go, oh, my God, this is great. This is amazing. What can the Lord do in our midst? And the answer is so much if people will become spiritually mature and step into servant leadership and build on the foundation of Jesus Christ faithfully, consistently, we will see amazing things happen in and through our church. I want you to answer God's call. Now, I'm saying, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help, and I do. But the real reason for you to respond is not because I need your help. It's because Jesus Christ calls you to this. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. Well, what does that mean? You are God's building. You are God's temple. That means that God is building up. That's you, plural, by the way. That's us. That's a group of people, a community. Okay? So what does that mean? Jesus is building the community of believers together to learn to walk in love, to walk in humility, to walk in the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, to be recipients of grace humbly and givers of grace as we channel His grace through our lives, through acts of sacrificial love. That's what we've learned so far. That's a little summary of Corinthians. Okay, and through that, He's building this thing. He's building a temple. It's an amazing thing. How important is it? How important is it? It's so important that the Lord says, you need to be careful about this, because he who destroys God's church, God says, I'll destroy him. Now, that's intense. That's really intense, you know. That kind of scares me when I hear that. That's how serious this thing is. You know what? People are going to hell. The people are going to hell. The world around us is in need of Jesus Christ. People are living a hell experience in their lives in the world all around us. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if you live in L.O. or you live in some place where there's a lot of nice fancy house fronts, and if you could see behind the curtain and see what's going on inside those houses, you'd find out that people are living lives of desperation. People are hurting. People are guilty. Relationships are fractured. People are empty in their lives. People are pursuing vanity in their lives, and it's not satisfying to them. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for hope. They're looking for forgiveness in life. And all of this the gospel has to bring to people's lives. But it only happens through the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ. I need you to become spiritually mature so you become a contributor. I need you to step into humble servant leadership and take the role that God leads you in your gifting and the inclinations that you have to serve in the church, so the community will become strong. And there we are then as this place, this little city on a hill within a city where we can shine the light for Jesus Christ. That's so important. Now, some people are listening to this message on the internet. And I'm going to talk to those people right now, because some of those people will be you next week or the week after that. Because you won't be here, because you'll be like, I don't have to go. I'll just listen on the internet, you know. Pastor Guy. People all over the world listen to this on the internet. It's amazing to me. People all over the country, they email me. They're like, great sermon. Loved it. You know, I'm like, on Monday, you know, I get an email from Philadelphia. I liked your second point. Like, and I can't find a church in my town. I can't find a church. I don't go to church. Don't need to. I listen to you. To you, dear listener, I say, go and find a Christian community in the place where you live and go to church and become spiritually mature and become a humble servant leader. They need you. They need you. In every community, the church is needed. A community of people who are learning together to know, love, serve in the attitude and the actions of Jesus, and to bring the gospel to the world around them as a tangible group of people. It's important. May the Lord help us. We'll stay in the Word next week. We'll come back to this a little bit more. I've run out of time, and Adam's at the door going, it's my turn. It's my turn. So we're going to have the worship team come in. Let me say a prayer with you right now. Lord, I thank you for this group of people, Lord. This is a miracle right here, Lord. Here we are in this sort of vintage 50s/warehouse-looking building. And Jesus, you're here. You're here, Lord. It's as beautiful as the dome of the great cathedral because you're here. And because this group of people is your building, is your temple, your great work of redemption in this world. Give us the faith to see that, Lord, and to receive it and to step into it. And Lord, forgive us for those areas of spiritual immaturity in our lives where we should have moved on from being just takers, obsessing about our own needs. And yet, Lord, we need to grow. So help us, I pray, to grow in maturity. And then, Lord, will you help us each to step into a place of humble servant ministry and leadership that together we might see this amazing thing happen. Thank you so much for it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's worship.